Welcome to another episode of Living an Ultra Life. My name is Mike, and this week we have a young lady that I met up doing Haynesport 48-hour endurance run and just loved the vibe that Vanessa and her team put on. And I was like, dang, I got to grab this gal and get her on the podcast. And then all of a sudden I find out she is one of the most badass runners that you're ever going to hear about. Oh my gosh. When you start hearing about some of the stuff this person has done, oh my. So without further ado, let's bring in Vanessa Klein, owner of Beast Coast Endurance and Beast. Is it Beast Coast Pacing? Did I get that right?
Beast Pacing. Yeah. Beast Coast Beast Productions Pacing. And Beast Pacing.
Beast Coast Productions and Beast Pacing. All right. Well, let's jump into this. So you are like now full time into this running thing, right?
I am. Running encompasses pretty much my entire life.
It's amazing. So how did this come about? Because you're young.
Oh, I'm probably older than you think.
Nah, you're just young.
Yeah. You know, so like, so that everybody understands like my background, I'm 44. I'm originally from Southern California, and the long distance running thing kind of started after I had my third child. So, I like to say I have five kids because technically I do. My partner, John Swanson, and I have a blended family. So between the two of us, we have five kids, but three of them are really mine. And I have two bonus daughters who are amazing also.
Wow. How old are all of your kids in this blended family?
So the oldest one is 21, and then we have 19, 17, one that's going to be 16, and then one that just turned 14.
Oh my gosh. You have a home full of teenagers?
Yes. Well, I mean, like the older two are out. So, that's one thing, but yes, at one time, having all those kids, I mean, it's a lot. It really is a lot. Yeah. A lot of people are surprised when they hear that John and I have kids at all. Because we still do a lot of like, you know, outdoor things, and we just squeeze things in when we can. Like that's literally what we do.
How did you end up in New Jersey from California? Because that's not like a typical progression.
No, I chased John Swanson here. That's what I like to say. So he's been a pacer for Beast Pacing. I think he started pacing for me in 2016, and then somehow like we connected, you know, via Facebook and started chatting back and forth. And I remember like telling myself like, no, you should not be talking to this person. But you know, your brain does what it wants. And before I knew it, we were like traveling back and forth. And then it really was only like 6 months of like dating actually before I moved to New Jersey.
Wow.
He was kind of like, hey, this long distance thing stinks. And I was like, I don't know. I was kind of like, okay with it. But I mean, it was becoming difficult, you know?
Okay.
So, he convinced me to move here. Although everybody's like, why? And I'm like, well, you know, you just kind of do what your brain and your heart does. And I mean, we're still together, so I guess it was a good thing, right?
Awesome. So how did you start and when did you start Beast Pacing?
So I started, I guess like my whole running like journey. I mean, I was a good runner in high school, did 17 5Ks, you know, like on trail.
Wow.
I was very fast. I had a great coach who was like kind of like a father figure to me, and he was amazing. And he really taught me to like work hard and do, you know, hard things. But I took time off and I ran my first marathon in June of 2012. I ran San Diego Rock and Roll. And that kind of lit like the fire again. And
okay.
I ran with a pace group at that race, but I didn't really, I didn't latch onto them too much. And then after I ran that race, like while I was training for my second marathon, which was St. George, somebody was like, you know, you might be able to qualify for Boston. I'm like, you guys are crazy. Like that, this is my second marathon and it seems like wild. And I don't know if I can do that. But then after a while, I was like, well, why don't I just like shoot for it? And like, if it doesn't happen, then it doesn't happen. Like, what happens? I just slow down. Sure.
Right.
So I convinced myself, okay, at least give it a shot. And I ran with a pacer that day from, at that point, Cliff Bar had a pace team and he was amazing. His name is Shannon and he actually ended up pacing for me through Beast Pacing. But anyways, I said, how do you become a pacer? Because that was amazing. And I felt like he, even though like I ran the race, I felt like he deserved a lot of credit for listening to me ask him every mile, like, am I going to make it? Like, I'm sure I
Right,
annoyed the hell
right.
out of him. And he's like, well, just start reaching out to local races. And so I started doing that. And then those races started asking me, like, I would kind of was like a single pacer for some smaller races. And then the race directors were coming back to me and were like, hey, can you get a whole team together? And I'm like, oh, I think I know enough people to maybe do that. And I was doing it as a volunteer and it started growing pretty rapidly.
Wow.
And two different friends that I knew that didn't know each other were like, yo, like you need to, this needs to like be a thing. Like you need to like get a business license and like, I think you got something here and you should like roll with it. And I'm like, what am I gonna call it? And they're like, well, so one of the things, my nickname that was coming up in the SoCal scene was like, people would say like, oh, she's a beast, or Russ
Right.
is a beast, comes the beast. And so these two friends that didn't know each other were like, it has to be Beast Pacing. And I'm like, it sounded a little corny to me at first, but I was like, you know what, like that's a thing, okay. And so I did all the went through all the avenues of like getting a business license and basically starting the business in 2014. So I was
Okay.
coordinating these teams in 2013, but really I started like making that my focus in 2014.
That's awesome. So
And
you start this in California. What part of California, by the way?
Southern California. So I was
Okay.
living in Big Bear.
Okay.
Actually,
Oh
I
my
might have been living
gosh.
in Hesperia. I might have been living in Hesperia. I was
Oh,
I'm
so
from
you
the
were in
high
the
desert.
great part of California. My gosh.
Yes, Big Bear's amazing. It has so many trails. Like it's super good for like outdoor people, which
Oh,
is why
yeah.
people are like, how did you get here from there?
Exactly. Yeah. So back to St. George, did you BQ?
I did, yeah.
God, it's awesome.
I
So how
needed
fast was that at that was
at that
2012.
time.
So my gosh.
Yeah, so I was
220,
in the
228.
so I needed 3:35 at that time,
Oh, okay. Cool.
because it wasn't, Boston
Oh,
wasn't as
that's right.
popular as it is
Yep.
now, and I ran like 3:32 something. I mean, I
Wow.
literally had just like a couple minute buffer, but that was good enough to get me into the race at that time.
Awesome.
And I ran, of course, the year of the bombing,
Oh,
which was
wow.
a little crazy. So yeah, it was a little bit, I don't want to say that my like experience was like overshadowed by that, because it was a great experience despite that situation.
Yeah.
And actually, the crazy thing about that is when that happened, the whole community like rallied together. I recall that my friend and I, we had met up, but we couldn't get to another friend. And we ended up at some random person's house who took us in. We showered there. The lady gave us clothes. She fed us. Like
Wow.
it was wild. Yeah, so
Wow. So you finished before the bombing.
I did. Yeah, I
Okay.
ran, I think, right around like 3:40 for
Okay.
that or something. So I was actually inside of a hotel called the Lowe's Hotel, and it was downtown, and I was in the bathroom changing, and when I came out, my friend was like, did you hear that? And I'm like, did I hear what? And she's like, it sounded like a train crashing, or, and I'm like, or what? And she's like, or maybe a bomb. And I was like, oh, I'm getting out of here. I'm like,
Wow.
it was crazy because everybody was kind of like funneling the same way. And I remember telling my friend, like, I am not going into a huge crowd. I want to go. I just went the opposite of where everyone was going.
Okay.
I didn't feel safe like in a group.
Right. Wow, that is nuts. So did you find your other friend that you hadn't been able to locate? How long did it take to find?
I think it took like a couple hours. I think what happened was the phone lines were so jammed, and I was trying to figure out where she was at. So I unfortunately had to like, I remember I actually talked to media from like back home before I spoke to her, and I asked them, I'm like, please do not say that I do not know where she's at, because I wanted to talk to her husband
Right.
first and
Yeah.
tell him, like, hey, have you heard from her? I didn't want him to like read that like on our local newspaper, which is like very small, but like we were the only two runners from our area that were running
Yeah.
it, so it was a big deal. Like people were texting us, you know, it was crazy.
Wow. That's amazing. I can't believe that was your now was that your first Boston? Because you've done it more than
I've
once,
only done
right?
it once. I've only
Okay, so
done
that was your
it
only Boston
once.
experience. Wow. I'll bet
Yeah,
that's kind of like seared into your memory.
I've qualified since then, not recently, but I just didn't like, you know, it was expensive to run it, and so, and I lived on the other coast now. I think if I lived here and kept qualifying, I might run it again. I don't know. I
Right.
also think that the people that have never run it deserve to run it. Like, I hate
Exactly,
the
yeah.
whole like squeaker thing, and I feel like first timers that qualified should be able to get in and have their experience
Exactly.
before
Yeah.
the rest of us have who have already done it get to do it. I don't like that whole
Yeah.
thing.
Yeah. So now, when did you morph from being a marathon runner into your incredible ultra marathon resume? Oh my gosh, we are going to jump into some of this. But when did that happen?
So that actually happened very quickly. So I ran my first marathon in June of 2012, and then I ran St. George in October of that year, and 2 weeks later I ran a 50 miler. So
Wow.
what happened was I was running with a woman named Cheryl Zworkowski, who she was pretty well known in our area for running Badwater a number of times, and Angeles Crest, and she was kind of like mentoring me, and I think that she saw that I had potential. And so she was like taking me on these long runs and like having me do back-to-back long runs. And I think she was kind of like leading me that direction, knowing
Right.
that I'd probably do okay there. So I remember I wanted to run my first ultra before my daughter turned 1 year old, because she
Okay.
was born in 2011, October 25th,
Okay.
2011. So I was like, you know, I had it in my head that I wanted to do it before she turned 1 year old. Like, I thought that would be kind of like a cool thing. It was a good turnaround for me because I was not in good shape when I even signed up for the first marathon. Like, I hadn't run even a mile before I signed up for San
Wow.
Diego Rock and Roll. So I signed up on like January 10th of 2012. I remember the day because I was just like, am I really going to do this? And I told myself, if you don't train for it, it's really going to hurt. Like, it's probably going to hurt anyways, but if you don't train, like, it's going to be worse.
Right.
So I think once the ball got rolling and once I like finished that first marathon, it just really lit this like fire again, because I was super passionate about running when I was young, but I kind of like lost all that. I think I had a little burnout, you know. Just funny. I run races all the time now and I don't have burnout. But I also, if people saw my training and what I do, I don't follow a plan at all. Like, I just do
Right.
what I want to do.
Okay. That is awesome. So was Pioneer Saloon, was that your first
Yes,
ultra?
that was it.
Okay.
That was it. And it was terrible. It was terrible. It was
Terrible. She finished third, y'all.
it was terrible. Well, I think there wasn't that many of us in the race. It was very
That's
small.
okay. You finished third in your 50 mile. Here you
Very
go.
true.
11 hours and 40 minutes. That's
Yes.
awesome. That's an awesome time for a 50 miler.
Thank you. Well, it was, I will say, it was relatively flat and it was well organized. When I say it was terrible, so a couple things. It was on like a gravel road and it was like
Okay.
out and back. I remember it was just like where you could see forever and ever and ever
Oh
straight
my
ahead,
gosh,
you
those
know?
are the worst.
Yeah. Yes. And the gravel underneath my feet, I was like, this, I don't like that surface. I still don't like
Right.
that surface.
Okay.
I remember too, I wanted to quit around probably I hadn't run a 50K. So probably around 26, 27 miles, I was just like, oh my God, how am I going to like keep doing this? My I was having like a little knee issue, which was unusual for me. But I had just run a fast marathon. I was like kind of turning it around really quickly. It was literally 2 weeks after that second
Wow.
marathon. And I remember I came up on this couple that was working the aid station right around, it was somewhere between 26, 27 miles. Anyways, I was at a low point and I remember this guy telling me, all you got to do is get to like 35 and then you'll like see the light and it'll be more doable in your brain, and I'm just told
Okay.
myself, okay, you got to just trust like what he's saying. And he was right. It finally became like, I can do this. I can get through this, even though, I was having some issues. And then after that one, I told myself, okay, you have to do another one because that sucked. I didn't like the surface. My knee was bothering me, which I remember was causing me to do more walking than I wanted to do.
Right.
So that kind of like lit the like, oh, well, I can do better than that. I feel like anything will be better than that experience,
Right.
So.
That's amazing. That is awesome. So, how long after you finished your first one did it take you to sign up for the second one?
I don't even recall what the second one is. Do you have my ultra sign up
I
history?
do. I do. And
I'm like,
I'm,
I don't know.
yeah,
And it might not even
this one's
be on there.
Tahoe Midnight Express 72.
Oh, okay. So, and that would have been 2013
Yeah.
in October or no.
September, end of September.
So it was like a year later.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems weird that I would have waited that long. But
I'll
I,
bet there's something, but this is
you know
just
what?
ultra sign up. You know how local, like when we were in Wyoming, like none of my Wyoming races are on my ultra sign up because
Oh, you know
we
what it
just didn't
was?
use it.
I think I was doing a lot of marathons because
Okay.
during a couple of those years, there was this list called like America's Best Frequent Marathoners.
Okay.
So I was like trying to do like 20 or 25 like marathons a
Wow.
year during a couple of those. So I think that probably was
Wait,
in
wait a
that. And
second. You're raising kids, Vanessa.
I
How
know, I know,
did
I
you had all three of them at this point, right?
I did, yes. Yeah, because my youngest was born in 2011. That was before I ran the first ultra and
So
the
wait a
first
second.
marathon,
You're
too.
doing some badass running and you're raising three kids and you're fitting all this in. See, now normal people don't do that. And you're also it so were you working before this or what? Before
Yeah,
because this is
so I,
before Beast Pacing, right?
yeah. So I was working for a school district. I was like doing like administrative work. Yeah, so I would actually would run and commute. That was fun.
Wow,
I
you're
enjoyed
just a lazy human being, man.
that.
I mean,
I used to
daggone,
love.
working a full-time job, raising three kids, and running a ton of races really, really well.
Well, I like to say that I'm a doer. And I
Yeah.
don't know if that makes sense to a lot of people, but I think people that are like me, like I don't like to be stagnant and I frequently overfill my plate, which I'm trying to learn not to do, but it's very difficult for a person like me that's like a yes person,
Yeah.
So I'm trying to work on that because I'm finding sometimes I'm busier than I really want to be, I
Yeah.
guess. But yeah, I used to run a lot of training runs with my kids in the strollers.
Wow.
Like a double stroller. Oh my gosh, that actually that made I feel like that made me fast because it was so hard.
Yeah.
I remember running like pretty fast half marathons with them, both of them in a stroller, like definitely under 2 hours,
Wow.
which I felt good about because it wasn't easy.
Yeah. That's incredible. I'm impressed. So when was your first 100-miler?
So I attempted Kodiak 100. The founder of that race, his name is Paul Romero. And he comes from like a background of like adventure racing. So he set up the first Kodiak. And I didn't know anything about running that far. I just know that
Right.
I had a little bit of a local draw. And so he said, like, hey, I want you to come run this race. I think it was like maybe to help promote it a little bit and to like kind of get the word out.
Right.
And I thought he wanted me to run the 50 miler. And he's like, oh, no. He's like, I want you to run the 100
Oh my
miler.
gosh.
And he had this huge goal. He's like, I think you can run under 24 hours. And I was like, dude, you're crazy, first of all. Like, I've never even run 100 miles. Like, I might not even be able to get to the finish line. And he said, oh, I've got this guy to pace you from the start to the finish.
Oh
It
my
was somebody
gosh.
that he knew through ultra running. Turns out this guy, his name is Shane Nuthall. We went to high school together, but he was
No
like a
way.
baseball. Yes, he was a baseball and football player. So we didn't really, we knew of each other, but we didn't cross paths.
Okay.
So he had him pacing me like kind of from the start. And I don't recall us really like paying attention to pace, but I think it was more like to keep me comfortable and like have somebody with me because there was not that many people like into the race, you know.
Okay.
But he was a little green also at that distance. He had run some, and I think he had even won a race called Cool Moon 100 or something.
Okay.
But he was still a little green also, and I really didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know like what I was supposed to eat. I basically was just eating gels, which, as you know, doesn't
Doesn't work.
quite work for that long. And they were caffeinated, and I
Oh my
started
gosh.
having, yeah. And I didn't realize it. You know, I didn't know what I was doing. So I started having some like heaviness in my chest, which was probably like a super high heart rate or something.
Yep.
And I remember to like telling myself like you need to do whatever you can do to like make it through this. Like you don't want to quit. And I just kept struggling. At one point, I even like was like, maybe it's my sports bra. Like I literally took my sports bra, put my shirt back on. Like with, yeah, I know. I'm like, who does that? That is so dumb, right?
Oh
Like,
my gosh.
but I was desperate to finish it. And then
Right.
I also started throwing up what looked like coffee grounds. And I'm like, that's weird. Like, why is it black? You know?
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, so I had a DNF around mile 70-ish, 72-ish. I'm not sure.
Right.
And then I went, I feel like it was that same year. Was that 20, 2014? Do I have a finish with Angeles Crest
Yeah, you
in
finished Angeles
2014?
Crest in 2014. Yeah.
Oh, so that might have been the next year then. Or was that was
Yeah.
probably the same year I had
Because
that DNF.
I think Kodiak the first time was 2013.
Okay,
And then
yes.
I think Angeles Crest was 2014.
14. Okay, that makes sense. That makes
Yeah.
sense. Yeah. So yeah. I don't remember where we were going with
Yeah,
that.
but so yeah, so Angeles Crest, I mean, fantastic 100 mile. That had to have been beautiful.
That race is beautiful. It is, the course is so good. I mean, I don't, it's changed a lot because of fires and stuff. So I don't know how
Right.
much of it. I know that like sections of it kept getting put on the road, but I feel like even the sections that may have gone on the road, like it's still really pretty up there. And the cool thing about that race is if the road isn't closed, your crew can just like roll down Highway 2, basically, which is like this main drag, because you kind of like
Right.
cross over that same highway until a certain point, and then I think you cross over into like another range, or like you kind of like get towards the Pasadena area. But there's always a ton of people at the aid station. So you come in and it feels like a, I mean, it's a pretty large race, you know, even back then. It feels like
Right.
a huge party and everybody's there to like see you come in. I think I had a decent finish. I think it was like seventh or eighth. I
You
don't
were
know,
eighth.
which
Yeah. Eighth female. That's
something like
awesome.
that. Okay. And
Yeah.
that felt pretty good. I had some, so going back to like the first Kodiak, I realized that throwing up of the dark stuff and having like dark stool was actually like blood. So I had a GI bleed, and that same thing happened towards the end of Angeles Crest. And I remember my pacer, we were coming to like one of the last aid stations, we're like on the top of like Mount Wilson or something, and she's like telling the aid station no acid for her, she gets no soda, no nothing. She was amazing. Her
Oh.
name's Jen, but she knew kind of like what was going on, but we didn't want to get, you know, I didn't want to get pulled. I told her, I'm like, I
Right.
don't care if I like go super slow as long as I make it. And we did. But the last part was like a real struggle. And I
Okay.
actually struggled with a GI. I frequently got a GI bleed in races over 50 miles for
Wow.
quite some time. And I
Did you
think
figure
just,
out what was causing it?
yeah, I just have like a very acidic stomach. So,
Okay.
and you know, maybe that's like I do drink coffee. I don't really drink soda unless I'm in a
Right.
race. I do like seltzer water now, but like at that time I didn't. So I just attribute it to having just like a very acidic stomach. For a while, a doctor had me on like, you know, a prescribed Prilosec. But
Right.
I have learned that actually, and I think like people that have stomach acid issues or like frequently get upset stomach or whatever, you know, most of the things that we deal with can be fixed by slowing down. I really believe that a lot of things. But the other thing is, you know, at a certain point, we're creating all this acid because we're moving and we're not putting in a ton of food. So what I do now is before any long races, the week before, I start taking Prilosec daily until, and then even on like the morning of the race. And sometimes I'll try to carry like one more if I'm going to go, you know, if I think I'm going to go over 24 hours so that I can potentially like avoid that. And it has really helped. And I think
That's
that
awesome.
there is not enough information about that because I know a lot of people deal with stuff like that, like sour stomach, and that really, really helps me. And
I just
also,
crewed a runner at a backyard that had the same thing, and we're sitting there trying to figure it out, and I think it was just there was just too much of the acidity from the tomato, but I also think he has a pre-existing something that's creating a lot of acid also, and I haven't been able to kind of narrow it down, but I really the Prilosec thing, that's a great tip, especially if you're going to be going for a while.
Definitely. And I, you know, it's funny too. Like once it's already happening, it's hard to, it's like when you get behind on calories, you can't really fix it once it's happened. You have to like be ahead of it. And actually John, my partner John, the same thing. He's found that he takes it now before long races and it because he used to have not the same type of problems, but he would get like sour stomach and he'd throw up in every race, you know. And he started taking it and now we have less of those problems.
I think that's awesome. I mean, and that's part of what I love about ultra running is if you're into problem solving and figuring out the puzzle pieces, ultra running is for you because it's all about you may think you got everything down pat. And you know, the next run, all of a sudden, it may be a different temperature. You may have slept different that week. You may have eaten different that week. And all of a sudden, you've got to problem solve. You've got to be able to adapt and overcome and problem solve and go, okay, I got to keep moving. So, how do I problem solve? And it sounds like you and John both have figured out, okay, how this is life. How do I move through this?
Yes. I think that's why I like ultras because it is like a puzzle. I, by the way, I also love jigsaw puzzles. So I don't know if
There
that like
you
has any correlation,
go.
but I love trying to figure out like how can I do it better or what, and maybe not better, just how can I enjoy it more? Because sometimes, you know, I'm not always racing for time. A lot of times I'm just doing it for the experience or to like, I love meeting people. I love talking with every single person. In fact,
I couldn't tell that from the race that I got. I would never have suspected that, Vanessa. You like talking to people?
I love people. I love meeting people. I love hearing people's story. You know, I like to know their why and like just I love learning about people. That's probably the best part of ultra running is like you
It is.
spend, you get stuck with someone for hours and you don't know anything about them. And then, you know, a few hours later, you're like, you know, their whole life story, you know, how many kids they have, you know, what their husband's name is. And I don't know. I love that part.
It's an absolute blast. Yeah, I tell people, you know, if we could figure out in America how to be like the ultra running community, we'd be okay.
Yes.
We'd be
Yes,
just fine.
because not to like get political or anything, and I'm not going to bring that in there, but like it, like all of that stuff just goes away and we just learn about each other and like it kind of like breaks you down to that like bare bones of like this is what life is.
Yeah, and we
You
cheer
know,
each
without
other on, we celebrate
young.
each other's successes. And you
Yes.
know, where else in the world do you see guys like I can't remember the guy's name who did the 12-hour and did 84 miles in 12 hours. What
Yes. Oh my gosh, I'm drawing a blank now too.
totally spaced out his name. Mike something.
Yes. I know
Yeah.
who exactly I know exactly who you're
Wait,
talking about.
did you notice he did not leave as soon as he was done?
Yes. Yeah.
He
Well,
hung
he got
out for
caged.
a
Did you see
long
that?
time. What's
I
that?
don't know. You guys probably missed it because I didn't put the video on social media yet, but he asked his girlfriend to marry him right at the end.
Are you serious? I did not know
Yes.
that. That is
Yes,
so
I know. I
awesome.
need to put that on social media. I'm
That
not
is
that good
so
with
awesome.
socials.
What a neat kid, though. I mean, but yeah, I mean, he just went out and slayed that 12-hour,
Oh, he's
but he hung
amazing.
out for a long time afterwards, cheering people on and everything.
Yeah.
And I tell people all the time, where else are you going to go where the winner of the race, who, when I'm running 100 miles or a 200 miler, the winner of the race is done. They could go out for dinner, have a
Right.
shower, get a massage, get retaped, do another 100 miler, and they're there at the finish line when you come across the finish line. And I'm sitting there going, what kind of world is this? This is
Yeah.
amazing. This is how it's supposed to be,
Yeah.
So yeah,
Yeah.
I love the ultra running community.
I think Haynesport's really good for that too because of the fact that it's that like short loop, format
Yeah.
and the tent city is really tight. I don't know. I'm really proud of that race. Like we've done a lot of work on it and I feel like we kind of turned a corner this year, actually. I think it's going to get bigger and it might get a little crazy.
I think it's gonna continue to get bigger. It's already I already signed up, so I'm in for
I
next year
know, I
for the
saw
48
that.
hour. I was like, okay, I love this. I got to go back up and
Hopefully with
hopefully
better
have a little bit better weather.
weather.
Yeah,
Yes.
let's not have a nor'easter. That would be
No.
pleasant. Yeah, and it's so funny because I tell people all the time, I stopped because my wife was having a miserable time. Because
Yeah.
a lot of people don't realize when your spouse comes out and crews you on these things, and it is crappy weather like that, they're inside a vehicle just stuck there for
Yes.
hours. And
Yes.
so, when I stopped, I was like, I could keep on going, but I really like my wife a lot. And so I'm going to stop and get to a hotel. And because, I mean, when you've done 100 miles, you've done 100 miles. And it's
Yeah.
like, and I knew the, I was watching the guy that was, going around who eventually ended up winning. And I was like, I'm never going to catch this Chris T guy because he's
Yes.
amazing. So I was like, okay, so I'm not winning this race. I've got 100 miles. I need to go take care of my wife. And I had a couple of my friends, my running friends, like, no, you got to keep going. And I'm like, no, I have to honor my wife also.
Yeah,
And
it was not fun for people that were out there supporting for sure. I don't know if you saw, like and this might be off topic, but whatever. This is like a race
whatever.
director thing, I don't know if you saw, but I actually had to back my car into that pavilion and put my computer inside the back of the
No.
vehicle because the rain was swirling, so even
Yep.
like with the being covered, important things were getting wet. And I'm like,
Wow.
okay, this is not going to be good if I trash an expensive computer. So I better,
Yep.
yeah. It was like
That's
again one of
crazy.
those of ultra running of like, okay, I've got this problem. I've got to figure out how to fix it so that
Yep.
the race can continue, and we're still like, pushing out the live results and all that stuff.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah. You guys, I mean, with the elements that you guys did an incredible job putting that race on.
Thank
Because I
you.
mean, it was that had to been really, really difficult. I mean, I just can't imagine the behind the scenes stuff that runners don't ever see, that
Yeah.
it's constant and everything. So let's kind of go that direction because I want,
Okay.
and then we'll jump back in the running. So when did you start race directing?
The first race I directed was in November of 2019. Basically, what had happened is I'm sure you can see on my Ultra sign up, I ran a race called Batona Trail Races. It was a
Yep.
55 miler in 2018. And John must have been like shuttling our kids somewhere that day. So he didn't run it. And I remember he was like shuttling kids. Then he was coming to like see me out on the course. And then he like met me at the finish line. And he said, when I like got done, he's like, hey, on the drive home, which is very close. Like we live about 30 minutes from where that race started.
Okay.
He goes, hey, Angie is looking to offload the race. Like they're gonna start a family and they need someone to take it over. And I'm like, this is perfect because while I was living in Big Bear and I was single, I really wanted to start my own race. I actually like mapped something out. I started like contacting venues and all that. And then I would get cold feet and I would just stop because
Yep.
I'm like, I
Big
can't.
move.
Yeah, I just didn't think I could put all of that extra stuff on my plate with beast pacing and do it by myself. So when that whole opportunity came up, I'm like, this is perfect. And actually, I should back up a little bit. Oh no, I think it was that same year. I think it was that same year I also tried to put in a permit for Haynesport and I got denied.
Oh,
I
wow.
got denied because the person that worked at the township, I think they just didn't understand anything about our sport and what it was like. And
Okay.
it was like, well, we've got soccer and like that would be in the way. And like it just, I really didn't, couldn't get anywhere. But anyway,
Right.
so then this opportunity came up and I'm like, all right, I'm gonna do this. I think that Angie and Dennis, the previous like people that had the race, they kind of had it as like a fat ass.
Okay.
And I knew that I wanted to like change it into something more, you know, with permits and insurance and all that. I wanted to make sure like I covered my bases. I didn't want to get myself in any type of hot water or trouble. And so I'm like, I need to like make it a regular race because I knew that also they had run it on a number of years just as almost like a group run or something. And then
Okay.
I think what happened was the DEP came and said, like, hey, you actually have to get a permit for it. So I
Oh,
wanted to make
wow.
sure I was doing all the right things. And so I turned it into like a regular race. And
Okay.
so we directed that in 2019. And then right after that, we were like, we need a 100-miler close to here so that people
Okay.
can qualify for Western states and not have to go to, you know, Eastern states, or I think Twisted Branch might have been a
Right.
qualifier still at the time, 100K and something else. I don't know. All these races that are, I love mountain races. I love hard races, but I felt like we needed something closer to like the Philly area that like people could try to qualify for Western states. So then I tried to put a permit in for the New Jersey Devil. We got approved. We were supposed to have the race in April of 2020, and we all know what
Oh my
happened.
gosh.
So then we like put it off. It was supposed to go on October of 2020. We still couldn't get the, we, you know, just
Trying to get permits
having
during COVID, that was
communication
insane.
issues with DEP because I think a lot of those people were working from home and I wasn't having a lot of communication. But anyways, the race didn't happen that year. Actually, it didn't happen until I think 2023 was the year that we put it on. I don't know. We've only
Wow.
been able to host that once, but I'm going to
Okay.
try again. Not, I'm going to give
Awesome.
it up.
Good.
Because I think we need a
Good.
Western States qualifier that's not so rocky and technical. And like, I'm not going to say the New Jersey Devil is easy because it's very, there's a lot of sand in the Pine Barrens.
Right.
But you know, you don't have that like climbing aspect or that super technical, like rocky stuff.
Yeah, like
I
Eastern
really,
states, that's
yeah.
crazy.
A lot of people can't qualify there, you know, and it's
Right.
unfortunate. Nothing against the race or anything. It's just like people from our area don't have the opportunity to even like train on stuff like that. It's just too
Right.
far to, for them to get places where they can properly do that.
That, 'cause I
So,
mean, Appalachian Trail, I mean, that's kind of our technical training on the East Coast.
yeah. I mean, we have
Like,
some here
for
in
like I'm
Jersey,
in
but
Virginia Beach, that's a 4 hour drive.
yeah. We just, John and I just were up at Mount Tammany, which was a 2 hour drive for us yesterday. And that's, you know, it's about 2 hours for us to get to anywhere that's even like remotely like Eastern states. And that's not really even close, like to what you
So
experience out
what
there,
does Beast Coast Productions have in the race? Well, what races do you direct?
it depends on the year, but we have Haynesport Endurance Run almost every year. And for the listeners, it's that's a 48-hour, a 24-hour, 100-miler, a 12-hour. We actually do a 24 and a 12 on Saturday and Sunday. And we have a 12-hour relay and a 24-hour relay. And all of our, so I'm sure you saw when you signed up, all of our Sunday races, we actually have heavily discounted because the feedback that we've gotten from some of our 48-hour people is that it feels a little bit lonely out there. So for those people that want to run 12 or 24 and only want to do, you know, one day or the other, Sunday is like crazy low right now.
That's
Because
awesome.
we want to push, we want to get more people involved on the back end of the event. That's the goal with that.
Yeah, that's
So we have
awesome.
Haynesport, and then we have, so coming up next, we have our first ever turkey trot. It's called
Cool.
Wobble Till You Gobble 5K.
Okay.
That's right there. It's right the same park that you ran Haynesport at. It's right
Okay.
there.
Cool.
Also have a small or a short trail race called Christmas in the Pines. That's got a like Christmas theme. It's a 4 mile, very mild trail race in Beechwood, New Jersey.
Okay.
It's super fast for those people that are like used to trails, and also great for beginners because it's not technical.
Okay.
We have, let's see, going to March, we have Big Woods Half Marathon, and that race is a trail race. It has 2,000 feet of elevation gain.
Oh, wow.
It's a little, it's that one's pretty beefy. We have a section called the Secret Trail. It's about 1 mile long. And usually people come back either saying like, what the hell was that? Or like, it's definitely a point like that people talk about. They're like, oh my God, the
Okay.
Secret Trail. That was horrible, Vanessa.
That's
Or they're like, did you
awesome.
just put flags anywhere? It's very technical through this one section. It's hard to follow. But the crazy thing is that trail was like a decommissioned trail. It wasn't on any maps. Actually, it was on CalTopo, I found it, but it wasn't on like
No
any
way.
park maps or anything. So I think what was happening, it was just becoming not used, and
Okay.
it was becoming overgrown, and it was hard to follow. And since we have been putting the race on, people are like, it's getting better. It's getting easier
That's
to
awesome.
follow. It seems better. It's still crazy. Like it's still, oh, you cannot run very fast through there. Like that course is, you're not running a PR on it. Although we've had
That's
some very
evil.
fast
Good
finishes.
job, Vanessa. Way
Yeah.
to throw the evil into
Oh,
it.
when we were the first time, so what I have done when I like make up a course or something, sometimes I do it on like a map first before I even go out there. And then I run it
Okay.
and I'm like, oh. And I remember the first time John and I ran it, I was like, oh, people are either gonna love us or hate us. I said it's gonna be people are gonna talk about it.
That's
So yeah,
awesome.
it's fun.
And that's in March.
That's in March. We have done a Haynesport 5K in May. I don't know if we're gonna keep continuing that. That one's really small, just mostly in our like township.
Okay.
We might be substituting that out for another type of race that I'm going to keep that under wraps right now. But
Okay.
yeah, so then we have also in May, we also have First State Trail Race, which is amazing. That's probably our most scenic course.
Okay.
And that's in Brandywine Creek State Park. That race goes through Delaware and Pennsylvania.
Oh,
And
cool.
it's got a 10K, 25K, and a 50K option. The 50K is two loops of the 25K. Super pretty, very runnable, kind of like smooth and flowy. I love that course.
Awesome.
And then we also have, I'm trying to think, we've got a half marathon, a road half marathon
Okay.
near Trenton. That's called Mercer County Half Marathon. And that's our largest race, but probably because it's on the road.
Okay.
It's getting bigger. I keep thinking about adding a marathon, but I'm struggling to find like streets that work with it.
Right.
So it's probably going to just stay a half. And John and I always have all these ideas of things in the works. I keep telling him like my new theme is like I don't need a project because we're both very busy already.
That's awesome.
But also like we have this itch to like create more for our community. You know, we love putting on races. We love Our favorite ones to direct are the super long ones where people are just wrecked, you know, because
Yeah.
especially like at Haynesport, I get to see all that unfold. At some of the other races, I can't see that, you know,
Right.
but at Haynesport, I see you guys looking like absolute crud some loops.
That
Like,
first
oh
night,
my
we all
gosh.
had to been looking like death warmed over. That
Yes, I was like,
swirling rain and wind was, oh my gosh.
I thought there was no way we were going to stay out there 48 hours. I'm like, I think
Oh.
everybody's going to leave
Well,
because it
you
was.
know, when I stopped at 31 hours, I was like, I wonder how many people are going to keep on going for 48. I was so surprised. I mean, there
Yeah.
had been like 15, 16 people that kept on going.
There was a decent number of people, and it was weird because, like, you know, everybody, like, people take breaks at different times. And
Right.
also, sometimes people leave and they don't say anything.
Right.
So, I mean, most people do, but sometimes people leave and they kind of like sneak out, right? But I'm loving to see a battle. So
Yeah.
I will encourage people. I'll say, you know, like, so and so is still here. They haven't said they've left and they have two more loops on you. You might as well at least do three. And then when that person comes by, I'll be like, hey, this other person's out there. I love to see people like really like push themselves and not settle, because we're capable of so much more than our brains tell us, you know, like,
yeah,
I mean,
I love that. The first time I did the dome, Mike and Bill were like that, you know, and I'm doing 6 days and they're going, you know, Mike, if you could just like step on the gas pedal instead of, you know, taking another stop, you could catch up to so-and-so. And it's like, I don't want to catch up to so-and-so. I want to die. You know, and
I know. I
so,
know.
but I
My
love
friend
that. And I could
Michael.
totally picture you doing that. So that's one of the reasons that I've signed up. I'm like, okay, I'm going back up and doing whole deck on 48, because I kept hearing you telling people about, well, you know, you're only so many laps down and, you know, they may be stopping. And I was like,
It's so true.
Yeah. You never
You
know.
never know when someone is going to stop or leave or early or something like that. So you might as well just keep going. I mean, I do that like also in my own running group. We have like a segment that like John has been the local legend, and then this other guy has been the local legend, and I'm always like, I you know, I'm always like pressing. I'll talk to each one of them separately, and I'll be like, hey, you know, John, he's planning on going to the mount. You should probably go. You know, and
That's
then I'll
awesome.
at home, hey, Dan's. I told Dan he better go, so you better go. So.
You're evil. That is so awesome. I love that. All
I love it.
right, so let's just jump back real quick, because you're not just like, you've run a ton of 100 milers, but did you get like a wild hair and go, you know, I keep on hearing about this HOTS and Vol State thing, I think I can go down and give this a swing? How did that come about?
Oh, that was okay. So
So this
if
is like
you,
21, right?
yes. So this is the crazy thing with the very first time I ran Ball State, which was 2021. My friend and training partner, I would say like he's probably the person I run with the most. We're struggling to make our schedules match a little bit because now he's got two young kids that he's taking care of. But anyways, we were running a lot together even through COVID, and that year Laz was having to put everybody in their own room because of COVID. So Michael's like, I'm gonna do this race. This is my friend Michael Wilson. He's like, I'm gonna do this race. And like, he's like, you should try to see if you could get in. This is the week before.
Oh
Okay.
my God, no
So
way.
I think I
Ball
like put
State,
myself.
you signed up the week before?
Yes.
Oh my God, you're insane.
So, well, I think I was probably bored also. Like, I think,
Okay,
you know,
yeah, 21. I
there
could see
wasn't much
that.
going on. And he's like, you should do it. And he and I, like, we'd always have a blast. So I'm like, well, if nothing, it'll be fun. There's probably gonna be some sucky parts, but whatever. So I think what I did was get on the wait list, because there probably was a late wait list, I'm sure. And then I emailed Laz and I said, I have money, I'm ready to sign up, and I can share a room with Michael Wilson because we've been running together anyway. So if we both have COVID, we're gonna have it. Like, can I get in? And because I think because we had already been like training together and we were, you know, he allowed me in. And I primarily run on trails. I feel like actually lately I'm like 50-50. But at that time I was mostly running trail. Even on like my training runs, I just had the opportunity to be on trail more. And I actually didn't have like a good road shoe that I loved. So I remember telling Michael, I'm like, I don't know what the hell I'm gonna wear for shoes. Like, this is a big deal. Like, whatever I pick, I'm stuck with for 300 freaking miles. And I just decided, I'm like, I can't keep looking. I'm not gonna go crazy trying to buy a new pair of shoes that I don't even know if it's gonna work. I was like, I'm just gonna wear, I was wearing Hoka Challengers.
Oh my God.
And so that's what I wore in the race. And it's kind of a hybrid shoe. So that was like, it worked out fine. Although there were some times, like, I don't know if you've done that race or if
I have
you,
not done it yet. I have so many friends tell me I gotta go do it, so.
it's, you know what it is? It's just the experience of what happens while you're out there, which I think you've done some of those other like journey runs. Did you do Swami?
I've done
Okay.
Swami twice, and I was just
Okay.
looking. I was like, all my Swami buddies were in this thing with you. I mean,
Yes.
oh my God. I'm like, Josh,
Yeah.
who's the race director, was in it.
Yes.
Matt
I think you
Jenkins,
told
who
me about.
ran the first two Swamis and, ran the last, like 26 miles. He got tired of his shoes, and so he ran the last 26 miles barefoot.
Oh, yeah.
He's
I've
insane.
got some stories.
Sally Hernandez, who's
Yep.
like the toughest Marine in the world. Michelle and Rick Gray were in that. You
God, I
finished
don't.
right there with
I
David
first.
Moore, who is just
Yes.
the most amazingly kind gentleman ever in the
Yes.
history of mankind. Love David. And Kim Drake, who's a hero,
She's
and
amazing.
yeah, and
All those
Mike
people are
Edwards, who's
amazing.
coming back this year and for his fifth Swami finish. And he's the one that talks everybody from, the Maryland area. You should just go do Swami. It's just a vacation on the Outer Banks. And so
Yeah.
I'm just sitting there going, oh my gosh, you ran with all my Swami buddies.
Yeah. I mean, like all of those people are amazing, you know, like it so during like Ball State is just so freaking hot. It is so, and I've done I the next year I did like HOTS and Ball State back to back.
My gosh.
And but like Ball State is just so much hotter. It really is. Like I don't something about like the area you go through. I think like Laz says it's like the Greenbelt area. It is terrible. It is, I want to say a curse word right now. It's freaking horrible, right? Michael and I decided that we thought at one point I remember telling him, I'm like, dude, my toes are baking in my shoes. Like they're like
Oh
little
my gosh.
sausages baking in my shoes. I remember cutting, you know, the toes off, which a lot of people do, and I still wasn't getting a lot of relief. I think that my shoe had more rubber on the bottom, you know, because it was that Challenger, and he was wearing some kind of a Clifton, or like maybe it was Clifton Edge at that time, that had more foam on the bottom. I decided like, dude, that's the way you gotta go. You cannot go with this
Can't go with the
rubber. The
rubber.
rubber was like bringing the heat like right through my feet. And I told him, I was like, dude, I'm gonna lose my mind out here. I had a few moments. We had a, you know, we Michael and I are just friends, but like we had a friendship breakup at one point.
That's
Where I was
awesome.
like calling John, complaining about him, and he was calling his partner Darren and saying like, "Oh my God, she's terrible!" Like, and then we got over it. I was a little cranky, which normally I'm
Nah.
not. Like even in tough situations, like
You're
typically,
out
like,
there for 8 days. You're gonna have a cranky day or two.
yeah. I was just
That's
having a rough
awesome.
time. For.
That's awesome. And then in 2022, you went and ran my hometown race, the
Which
Bighorn
one?
Mountain Run.
Oh my God, that is probably the most beautiful 100-miler I've ever ran.
Okay, so my
And
wife and I lived in Sheridan for
okay.
over 7 years. And
Wow.
then we got talked into coming back to Virginia Beach. But is that the most beautiful scenic run that you've
It
ever
seriously is.
done? And was it a mud year or a hot year?
No, it was I wouldn't say it was like unusual. It was definitely warmer, but it wasn't muddy. So I heard I got lucky.
Yeah, you did.
It was pretty warm. In fact, on the first 8 miles of the course, I remember I'm like going up that climb, and I remember telling Michael, I'm like, oh my God, every check engine light is on. Everything on my dashboard is red right now. And how are we going to finish this? You know, I
That first
remember getting to
climb is just evil, isn't it?
oh, it's
Because
so
it's so
and
scenic.
going
I
the
mean,
other way is
after you
terrible
get out of
too.
the canyon, you think, well, it's going to be runnable now. And nobody tells you that you're about to climb 4,000 feet and,
Yeah.
to just under 9,000 feet of elevation and, come out on, the top of Horse Creek Mountain. That's, doesn't look like a mountain because it's not
No,
scary looking. It's just
I think we
rounded.
laid in snow at the top. I feel like there was a snow patch and like in some shade, and we like laid in it. We were like, oh, this is amazing. Yeah,
That's a fun run.
that's actually one of the only races that I didn't get sleepy in. And part of it, I think, is like we were kind of like vacationing before. So I ran that race with Michael also. And I think we were kind of like vacationing. We, you know, typically he and I both are like go, go, go until the moment, the night before a race. Like we're just like balls to the wall trying to get everything set up in our normal lives.
Right.
And that one, we flew out to Colorado and we took a couple days getting up, maybe a day or two getting up to Wyoming. I don't know. We just like took it easy. And I think that, and also like the scenery just kept us really engaged
Oh,
because
yeah.
both of us, you know, sleep is probably, you know, our main issue. At least for me, it definitely is, like trying to stay awake, you know, at that like 3, 4 a.m. mark.
Yeah.
But that race, I don't remember feeling tired. And I think it was because it was just so beautiful, like even at night. I will say I did sell that race to Michael. I was like, it's sort of like a West Coast trail. Like I'm like smooth, buttery.
You
Smooth,
lied to
buttery
him.
trails. I did. I lied to myself because I thought that's what I was in for.
Yeah.
Yeah, that race is
That's
beautiful
my
though.
favorite race. That
So
was
well
the
organized too.
Oh yeah. Yeah, Karen and Michelle do a fantastic job. So this is how we love to end the Living an Ultralife podcast. The name of it is Living an Ultralife. What's the first thing that pops in your head when you hear that?
Being able to adapt and change things because at any point, something is going to go wrong, and you have to be able to deal with that. You have to be flexible. You can have a plan, but if things aren't going right, you have to be able to adapt and change. Find which door is going to open and walk through it.
Well, I'm looking forward to coming back up to Haynesport and running your race again because that was an awesome experience. I really enjoyed it. All right, Vanessa, thank you so much for taking some time.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening. Really appreciate you guys. We'll see you next time on Living an Ultralife.